This is The Tenth Voice, Kansas City's gay and lesbian radio magazine. The Tenth Voice, because you refuse to be silent.
And hi, I'm not silent, although I do kind of look like Silent Bob sometimes. This is Philip. I'm your host today, Philip Lowell-Hooser. How you doing? Are you having a swell time? That's great. I can't hear you if you're talking to me. Welcome to the 10th Voice on KKFI. It's really swell that you have tuned in, whether you're online or listening over the airwaves. Of course, it's also pledge time. We don't want your furniture polish. We would like, though, if you would call in and let us know that you're listening to the show and you think it's something wonderful to support by supporting us with money. Remember, if you can't be a radio, be an athletic supporter. So the pledge line for that is 888-931-0901. You can also go to our website and pledge there. If you can just credit the 10th Voice at kkfi.org. And there's a leftover, apparently,
leftover
from Woman Song. So we have our leftover woman,
Linda. We love
Linda.
Leftovers. I want to thank you to Mary Lynn from Kansas City, Missouri, who called in and made a generous pledge to Woman Song.
Yay,
so
Mary
thank
Lynn.
You.
We love you.
We do.
And so we could.
But it's just as important for people to call in right now for
we would love
for the 10th Voice.
To call in for the 10th Voice, too. Absolutely. That, of course, is the voice of Linda Wilson, who's engineering our show because I'm technically incompetent.
Oh,
so
Phil.
We have news, we have fabulous guests, we have a lot to talk about, and there's money to raise. So please call in now so that you don't miss any of that, except here comes the news. And like a genie out of a bottle, here comes the news. Today in Slovakia, citizens are voting on three questions. Whether parents can be the only ones to decide if their children receive sex education, whether marriage can only be defined as a union between a man and a woman, and whether same-sex partners can be prevented from adopting children. Slovakia's constitution already has a ban on same-sex marriage, and the campaign to prevent recognition of marriage equality has received massive support from the Catholic Church, including a billboard featuring Pope Francis, who this week gave his blessing to the referendum in an address in St. Peter's Square. The National LGBTQ Task Force is addressing the divisive issue of how religious belief is being used as a reason to discriminate at their Creating Change conference. The five-day conference bills itself as the largest annual gathering of LGBTQ activists and organizers and offers workshops on training ministers to guide conversations in their churches that recognize that LGBTQ people are part of their community. The conference is being held just blocks from the Colorado Capitol building, where legislators have been working on bills to allow discrimination based on what they have called deeply held religious beliefs, arguing that businesses will benefit from legal uniformity across the state of Arkansas. Senator Bart Hester introduced a bill that would prevent the enactment of civil rights ordinances that differ from state law. Hester's bill may be inspired by a federal civil rights ordinance which banned discrimination surrounding sexual orientation and gender identity. The federal ordinance was reversed in a recall election last December. Arkansas does not ban discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. As the Supreme Court prepares to take up the issue of same-sex marriage for perhaps the last time, opponents are scrambling to make their final stand against marriage equality. This month, they are rallying behind four individuals who each had a gay parent but who argue against marriage equality. Called the Quartet of Truth, these adults spin tales of trauma that they claim are representative of all children of same-sex couples. Though some of them were raised for a period of time by a same-sex couple, it was only after the trauma of their birth parents' separation. Among other things, the four claim they have missed out on a vital dual-gender influence and have compared adoption by same-sex couples to slave ownership and cultural genocide. The quartet also makes arguments that children do best when raised by their, quote, married biological mother and father, unquote, and have referred to women who volunteer to be surrogates as, quote, breeding stock, unquote, and described any parenting that derives children of one of their biological parents that deprives children of any one of either of their biological parents as child abuse. Regardless of these opinions, opponents of marriage equality are not actively trying to ban divorce, adoption, or foster care, nor have they tried to force widows and widowers to remarry. They're only targeting same-sex marriage. And that's all the news! I am thrilled, I tell you, to announce that our first set of guests for today should be familiar faces to you, even if you wouldn't recognize them if you passed them on the street. The first one is Adria Andrews. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Dandy. Adria's Dandy. Boy name is Josh.
It is.
And let me tell you a little bit about Adria. She is the current reigning Miss Gay Missouri America. She was a top 10 finalist to Miss Gay America previously. She was the first alternate in 2013 for Miss Gay Missouri, Miss Gay Illinois America 2011, and Miss Gay Central States America 2009.
Yes.
You have quite the illustrious history.
I've been around for a little bit.
And I also have to tell you something that I have found as a description of Adria, which try not to be too embarrassed, okay?
Uh-oh.
Adria truly exemplifies everything that Miss Gay America and the America pageant system is about. She is that rare and beautiful queen who is talented and kind without a mean bone in her body. This person writes, I've never seen her lose her cool or read someone behind their back.
Oh, wow.
In contrast to that, we have Melinda Ryder.
I knew something was coming.
also, with the boy named Bruce, began drag in 1975 in St. Louis, moved to Kansas City 2 years later. At that time, there was no female impersonation in any of the local gay bars, although Kansas City had quite a history of drag performance and female impersonation. So Melinda Ryder was a pioneer in bringing the art to clubs that catered to the LGBT demographic. A few years after relocating to Kansas City, Winter met Kirk Nelson. And it's been just a pretty little love story ever since.
Not always pretty, but it's a love story.
Well, pretty enough. In fact, if you've seen Melinda Ryder wear it, chances are Kirk has lent his creativity to it.
Exactly.
In addition to other achievements, many, many other achievements, Melinda has reigned as Miss Gay Midwest America, Miss Gay Kansas America, Miss Gay Missouri, and Miss Gay Show Me State back in 1989 when you must have been in kindergarten.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, well, of course. So, why are we having you here? There's something big coming up. There's big stuff happening.
There is.
Adria, tell us all about it.
Yes, well, we are actually really, really excited about this. But April 9th through the 11th, we are going to be having the 42nd annual Miss Gay Missouri America pageant. And it's coming back here to Kansas City. It actually hasn't been here since 2000, so we're really excited to have it back here again. And it's going to be at the Arts Asylum on 9th Street, downtown.
Yeah, 9th and Tracy.
Yes, we're really, really excited about it.
And the Arts Asylum is just a great place, generally.
It
for
is.
Events, too.
Yeah, it's
so
wonderful.
That's really terrific. So, how have you been reigning? What have you been doing for Gay Missouri as Miss Gay Missouri? Do you miss Gay Missouri?
Yes.
Do you think you will miss Gay Missouri?
I will absolutely miss being Miss Gay Missouri. It's been an amazing time. It took me 5 years to get this goal that I set my heart and my mind to. And it's been absolutely amazing getting to travel the state and meet so many new people and just kind of share my love of female impersonation and the art form of it. Mm-hmm. And share my love of the America system and, you know, why I chose to be a part of this. It's also given me a really great opportunity to draw some attention towards a charity that's really important to me, which is the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Missouri.
Yeah.
I've actually been going around raising money at all of my prelims for that, and I'm hoping to present a very sizable check on final night at Miss Gay Missouri to the MS Society.
Now, when you say sizable, do you mean like one of those publishers' clearinghouse checks?
Yes. Yes. Figuratively and literally.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
Now, in fact, the first year that you competed, wasn't your goal to be in the top 10?
That was the only thing I was hoping for. If I could just make the top 10, I'll leave a happy camper.
And
I did.
Yay! In fact, you were 7th, weren't you?
No, actually, I was 10th. Oh. I was 10th my first year.
But you got in there.
I got in there. I squeaked by, and so I got to compete on final night and get some great critiques from the judges, and it was on from there. I'd been bitten.
Well, when I feel a little tenth, I always, breathe deeply and just try to calm down.
Oh, yes. That's very good. It's always good to relax.
And you, Brucey and Melinda. I've been seeing a lot of you around. So you're still involved?
Yes, in the Miss Gay Missouri pageant. Because I've had several titles, as you said, but Miss Gay Missouri was the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart. I enjoyed all the other ones, but this one is, we call it a total, it really is a family and a sisterhood. And even people outside of the Missouri pageant system say it's amazing how much we all come back and come back together, as many as are possible, every year for the pageant. And it really is like a family reunion when you get together and we see each other, and we are very supportive of each other. And it's one of the longest running pageants in the America system.
Correct? It is. It's the second longest running, okay. Yes.
And now, I also understand applications are still available, if anyone's...
For any of the prelims, we have 3 prelims left. Uh-huh. Applications are available for all 3. We have Miss Gay St. Louis coming up on February 21st. At the Gray Fox, yes, in St. Louis. Imagine that, Miss Gay St. Louis is held in St. Louis. I know, imagine that.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's a magic miracle. We thought we would mix it up a little bit, throw people off.
Well, thank goodness it's not East St. Louis.
No, it is not. It is not.
We've had some good times in East St. Louis, though, back in the day.
Have you spoken to about that?
Well, you
I think that was all
there.
Before my time.
I saw your Instagram.
My Instagram is holy and lovely. There's an angel with a halo about that.
And also Miss Spirit of St. Louis.
Miss Spirit of St. Louis is going to be March 14th, also at the Gray Fox in St. Louis.
Now, does that mean someone should dress like an airplane?
If they want, they are more than welcome to.
Okay.
Yes, that will be lovely.
All supportive of Charles Lindbergh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have to celebrate him. Yes.
And is there a third one?
There is. Miss City of Fountains, which is going to be March the 23rd here. It's a Sunday. It's going to be here in Kansas City at Sidekicks.
Because, of course, this is the City of Fountains.
It is.
So how many preliminaries have you, under your guidance, added to the system?
Well, we've had 9 so far, and after we have these 3, we'll have 12. So last year I know that our contestant base was 16, and now we will have 24 this year.
Terrific.
That's
terrific.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, of course, and I warned you I was going to bring this up. Recently in the news, Vice President, some say Acting President, Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, Mary, asked quite publicly, why is it socially acceptable as a form of entertainment for men to put on dresses, makeup, and high heels and act out every offensive stereotype of women, but it's not socially acceptable as a form of entertainment for a white person to put on blackface and act out offensive stereotypes of African Americans?
Mary.
What?
Oh, Mary.
Perfect response.
Oh, Mary.
What would you have to say to her?
Well, to me, first of all, blackface to me, of course, is just absolutely wrong. I mean, I think it's something from an archaic time that's, long past us. And to me, blackface comes from a place of ignorance and racism. And to me, drag and female impersonation isn't about coming up with offensive stereotypes of women. It's about celebrating women. I mean, we emulate all the best parts of women, the beautiful bodies and the hair and the jewelry and the makeup. So to me, that's a celebration and a love. That's not... trying to find, stereotypes and acting out offensive things about women. To me, it's the exact opposite.
I'm right there with you. I so agree, because I believe female impersonation means there's something good about females to impersonate.
Exactly.
There's something good about women, and to see it as offensive stereotypes of women, I have never seen that.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's been going to the wrong drag shows.
I mean, there's comedy, and everyone will now do a crazy comedy number where they might look crazy, but again, it's all in fun. It's not about...
And it's a character.
It is. It's a caricature, is what I would say. It's an over-the-top dramatization, So it's about having fun. It's not about, a racial stereotype or anything like that, which is what I think. To me, when I think of blackface, that's what I think of.
And female impersonation has the much longer history, too, because the Greeks had it in their theater, men playing women.
Mm-hmm.
Even through Shakespeare's time, it was all... men playing all of the roles.
Well, that's where drag comes from, dressed as a girl. So, right. Yeah.
Whereas, the minstrel shows in blackface have about 100-year history, tops. And then people said, no.
Right.
Because the very purpose of that was to. So, Mary, stick it.
Mary, you're in danger, girl.
You're in danger, girl.
We're kind of zipping through all of this because there's more stuff a-happening. Adria, you'll be in St. Joe tonight?
Yes. We're actually going to, as soon as we leave here, we're going to take a little tour of the Light Me Lighthouse next door, which I'm really excited to see.
I'm excited about that, too.
Yes. And then I'm going to hit the road for St. Joe, and we're having a benefit show tonight at the headquarters, which is inside the Belt Bowl in St. Joe, to help raise money to put on the Miss Gay Missouri America pageant, because there's a lot of money that's needed to reserve the event space and to...
None of the farmers are very rich.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. Many of us don't make money off of this at all or during drag period.
You mean Miss Gay Missouri doesn't come with a lot of product endorsements?
Oh, I wish. If there's anyone that wants me to hawk their product, call me. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me out there. I'll be more than happy to push your product.
Not even a gold medal you could hawk?
No.
Not even a tiara you could pawn?
No, because we'll keep that. No, I'm not pawning that. No. I keep that and put that on a shelf.
and Melinda Ryder, you've got stuff going all the time.
Yes, I try to keep busy.
I can tell because I get your Facebook.
Yeah, and coming up in the first Saturday in March, I'm going to go off subject here for a minute, is I'm doing a very special charity drag bingo at Hamburger Mary's. It's going to be bingo and a show. We got lots of great entertainment. My husband's going to sing. We have Kim Kircher singing. We got Jay Hansen, of course, Riri, and a special surprise guest. Anyway, it's...
Oh, really? Who is it? Who's that special surprise
guest? You're so mean.
I want to be surprised.
So that's Saturday, March 7th at 5 o'clock at Hamburger Mary's, and all the money raised is going to the Light Me Lighthouse.
Yay. And you're also doing hosting a special screening of An Affair to Remember at the Like Me Lighthouse coming up here soon, aren't you?
Yes, this Tuesday we're doing a little Valentine-themed free movie night at the Like Me Lighthouse. We're going to screen An Affair to Remember. It's from 1957 with Deborah Carr and Cary Grant. I do love the classic movies.
Oh, non demente, Deborah Carr. I love that song. Non demente. But no, never mind. And because of this particular moment, I have someone to thank. Actually, a couple of people to thank. One of them we wanted to give a special shout out to because she's having to deal with her father ranting against socialists and communists while in British Columbia. And that's Elizabeth Anderson, also one of the co-hosts here. She's called in with something. She says, "I love Philip, Linda, and Bruce. I'm sure that if she were here with you, she would love you too, Adria."
If she knew me, she would love me.
What's not to love?
We also have a special thank you to Ryan Zeller, calling from Belton. Thank you both so much for helping out the show. You're both terrific people, and I know you both personally. So if I have anybody else that I know out there, if you don't call in and give, I'll come get you. Believe me, I'm making my best B. Arthur face at the moment to get you, Walter. One of the things, of course, that always comes up when dealing with drag is people you use he, she interchangeably.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people may not understand how that is. So
you don't really realize that till you're around somebody that's not around drag.
Yeah.
And they get so confused. But
yeah.
We can go back and forth so easily.
Constantly. Yeah. It's very fluid. I have to sometimes catch myself even at work. someone will come into my office or whatever, and it's a male, and someone else will come in, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know what her problem was." And I have to stop. Oh, wait a minute. I don't really even know. It just kind of happens.
Right.
You don't even really think about it. But yeah, we use those pronouns very interchangeably. He, she, her, him.
Which is something that also comes up in workshops I've been in dealing with, various issues. And that's, what name do you prefer? What pronouns do you prefer to be used? And I always say, I don't care what pronouns you use for me, because to me, they all just mean person.
Right. That's a good answer.
So,
like that.
I'm full of it. Them. Good answers, I mean. Don't get me started. I've been trying to make sure you get out of here on time, because I know, Bruce, you've got to go paint yourself. Or be painted. But not while lying down.
No, it didn't work.
We could just put you in a float tank. You could
something.
Be painted at the same time. But you have things to do, and you need to get to St. Joe's. So,
Miss Missouri needs a drag nap before the show.
Yes.
Just drove here from St. Louis. So.
Yes.
And you should also know that being very quiet in the corner is also Miss Alley Cat.
Yes, another former Miss Gay Missouri.
So we're just full of the Miss Gay here. Or MGM, as I love calling it, because we used to go, rah!
MGM's everywhere.
Yes.
Anything special else that we should know about? Any projects, anything, any events? Support multiple sclerosis, but not the condition itself.
Right. Yes. I hope to see many of you out, again, to come support Miss Gay Missouri in April. Again, we are super excited to have it back here in Kansas City and looking forward to seeing everyone in April.
And I always say this, too, if you've never been to a drag pageant, this is the one to go to.
It is.
It's top-notch. It's in Kansas City. The ticket prices are very reasonable.
Yes. $15 for final night. Prelim nights are $10. Right. 24 contestants. 24 contestants from all across Missouri are going to be here, and the reigning Miss Gay Missouri, or myself, and then the reigning Miss Gay America are all going to be there, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
for having us.
And it's always lovely to catch up. Linda, I believe you have some pre-recorded things to share with us.
90.1 FM is supported by Folk Alliance International's Wednesday Night Kickoff Party. Wednesday, February 18th, 10 stages of Kansas City area artists. 8 p.m. to midnight in the Westin at Crown Center, including Ruddy Swain, Calvin Arsenia, Expassionates, Cowgirls Train Set, Myrie Wild, The Project H, Himbry, The Late Night Callers, Old Sound, Johnny Hamill's God, The Thunderclaps, Betsy and Clark, Swerve On, Folk Aside, Destroy Nate Allen, Billy Batts, Bo Bledsoe, Brandon Hudspeth and Hyson Taylor, and Ernest James. That's Wednesday, February 18th, 8 p.m. to midnight. Folk.org for all the information.
KKFI would like to thank Californos in Westport for donating food for our volunteers for this year's pledge drive. Thank you, Californos.
We are back. There's still a whole lot of shuffling, and I have an autographed picture. But I also want to let you know, before we go on to our next guests, that we are the people that you hear hosting this show, and it's a heck of a team, with Linda shepherding all of us, because she would make a good shepherd of the hills.
Is there a female version of shepherd?
Yes, shepherd.
All right. I'll be a shepherd.
We'll have you as Shepherd's Pie Peppered with actual shepherd on top.
Sounds good to me.
After all, she's just come back from Carnival, and I saw the photo of her with all the beads.
They were hard to get.
And
I did. I earned them.
So, so Linda?
Yes?
How much are you paid to be on Woman's Song and then the 10th Voice?
Paid?
Yeah.
What's that?
Exactly.
I don't get paid to be on Woman's Song. Actually, I pay to be on Woman's Song because I volunteer for the KKFI and I make donations. And it's not really payment, though. But I love to give it because it's just sharing with my family and community.
And same thing with all of the various people that you shepherd. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you. You, especially.
Me.
You need a lot of shepherding.
Elizabeth. Sandra, whose last name starts with M.
Me.
And Sandra, whose last name starts
Marin.
With M. And all the other people who come in and
Luke.
Participate in that. And Luke Harness, who is mm-hmm. here very often in various capacities. Mm-hmm. We all volunteer to do this. And I know it takes a lot of my time to research, set up a show, talk to people in advance.
You hear an hour's worth of programming, but it was actually like 6 or 7 hours of preparation.
Usually. So we're not getting rich off of this.
No.
We're paying a lot. But it's for the love of community. That really sums it up
it
for
is.
Me. It is saying there's stuff out there that I think everyone needs to be aware of.
Especially in our community, because it's so... usually when you hear about it, it's not in a good light sometimes. Well, it's getting better. It's getting better and better, I have to say.
Or it's the whole alphabet soup.
That's right. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Because we want to be more and more inclusive.
That's
we
right.
want people
it's,
to know
it's
that
diversity.
They have a place. And that's the thing. and a point that I always make is that diversity is not about having everybody blend together.
Oh, no.
Diversity is like the colors of the stripes on the rainbow flag.
How boring would that be if it was just all blended together? It would be like gray or brown or tan or something.
And there's KKFI, I think, has more diversity than any radio station I've ever listened to.
I think you're right.
It's like a library. It has all of the sections. They're all distinct, and you can go to whichever section pleases you most.
KKFI is many things to many different people. Like, it's a blues station. It's a jazz station. It's a mixed melody of music. It's a news station because we have Amy Goodman in the morning, and we have other news programs.
Including Native American News.
That's right. That's right, which I bet there's no other station in the region that plays that, and we're very fortunate to have that here on KKFI. We have Hispanic programming in the evening. We have chamber music. We have world music. We have women's music.
We have all kinds of music.
It's very diverse. And so KKFI means many different things.
And I think if people want to help support that, they need to let the station know by pledging.
Call,
pledge, you know. This is how we know what we're doing matters to people.
That's right. That number to call?
That number to call is 888-931-0901.
Actually, if they pick up their phone right now, you'll read it out for them so they can just push those numbers in as right now. Pick up your phone right now.
Pick up your phone. I want you to rise up.
Rise up.
Just enough to get your cell phone out of your pocket. Go to a window so you can see the numbers a little bit better, because I'm old and I kind of have that problem. And I want you to dial 888-931-0901 and say, I'm as glad as heck that the tenth voice is on the air, and I'm not going to take not having it anymore. And our wonderful volunteers will take care of you quickly. You might even be able to get a thank you gift out of it, like a T-shirt, or be a guest DJ, or lots of other stuff.
Because that's right.
That's what matters.
That's right. And don't forget, you get 24/7 programming here on KKFI.
Yes.
You just turn on the radio, it's there.
Or if I need something, you know, to sort of relax me at the end of the day, I can get like the Red Eye, the Retro Red Eye Show on Saturday mm-hmm. nights. There's the
Heart. We have hip hop on Saturday night.
Oh yeah.
And reggae on Saturday evening and on Sunday evening. What don't we have here?
Exactly. I don't recall a specifically Canadian artist show.
Oh, there's so many Canadians. Canucks. They're hidden, though.
They're hidden, but I love.
They're hidden.
Canadians.
We think they're Americans, too. But they're really Canadians.
So if you think that it's good for Kansas City to have its one media broadcast show that's devoted to the LGBTQIA community and all of our letters and all of our allies and all of the things that Q and I can stand for and all of that. There's an easy way to show it. Just call, you know, a little bit still really helps a lot.
Yes.
So that being said, I hope you'll take advantage while we're doing this break right now and call, because I'm about to have two more really wonderful guests, and you don't want to miss what.
And they're just sitting there patiently waiting.
They are. They keep watching me. I keep watching Helen shift back and forth out of my peripheral vision. And then Brian keeps looking at me, and then at you, and then at her, and then going, how much longer is this going to be the rest
of the show? But it go really quick if we get to all the phones ringing right now, 888-931-0901. If we get them all ringing, we'll go on to our guest.
Exactly. You can also pledge online at kkfi.org. That's the radio station listening to, KKFI, in case you didn't know. It's Kansas City Community Radio.
That's right.
Okay.
Do it now.
So that being said, I would like to introduce you to our next lovely guests who are on the show. Hello, lovely people.
Hi.
Hello.
That's lovely Helen Stringer, and lovely Brian, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your lovely last name.
Brian Carino.
You know. Okay, so you are here representing Kansas City Oasis, which is an innovative community. I know because it says so on your website. And it's free thinkers having a safe space to learn, celebrate life, find social support, and give back to the community. community, it comes up again.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, just as a general description, how would each of you describe Kansas City Oasis? What would be the most important thing for people to know?
Oh, okay. She's gonna let me go first. So I think that one of the main drawing points for me for Oasis was the fact that there is just always something different. A lot of times, growing up in a church setting, it seemed like it was always the same thing, kind of being hammered out. And at Oasis, every single week I show up, and there's always something different. We have a community that's very diverse, with people from a whole bunch of different backgrounds, and each of them bring a different perspective on life, bring a different perspective on things, and that's what I absolutely love, is that we get to see and hear and experience all those different perspectives through everyone who's part of our community.
Rather than just the single perspective.
Correct.
It's diverse!
Right.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just how these words keep popping up. Now, Helen Stringer.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that Brian just said, I think it creates a place for those of us who don't fit in church for whatever the reason, but desire community. In our culture, religious institutions tend to hold the monopoly on creating really strong communities. And that's why I was motivated to start Oasis, is because I wanted to create a landing spot for those of us who simply just don't fit in church for whatever the reason. And, you know, you kind of read from our website that said free thinkers. You know, we have all kinds of people who identify from whatever idea of thought, from agnostics to humanists to even pagan. We have a few Christians. I mean, we really have just created a place where anyone can feel like they can fit in, as long as, you know, it's one of our values is be accepting and be accepted. It's just really simple. We care more about the person than their beliefs.
See, how can acceptance work? Sometimes it doesn't. But you were instrumental in forming this community.
Yeah. I am the founder of Kansas City Oasis. We do have a sister community in Houston, and some other communities, launching one in Dallas-Fort Worth in March as well, of other oases that follow the kind of the same model and same values.
Then as far as the LGBT, I get tired of saying all the letters, community, we would also find community and communion there.
Absolutely. I mean, we're inclusive of any type of thought, lifestyle, you know, it's just how we are. So it's not like there's a special, you know, exception for it or anything like that.
So it's about being human?
Yeah, pretty much, right? Hi, I'm human, and so are you. it's accepting people where they at and for who they are, regardless. It's irrelevant. I don't even know why we give thought to that, you know, to not accept someone. So.
Right. And even on that light, I mean, we did do some preliminary just kind of surveys just to kind of see who's coming out, what are their interests, and even though it's not a community where we're asking people to be out and proud and tell us exactly who they are, one of the questions that was on there, of course this was a survey that, you know, no names were attached, but over 20% of our community actually says that they identify with the LGBT community in one way. We didn't ask them to, you know, describe in which way, but I think it's telling of our community, and it tells a lot about how accepting we are, that people just feel safe being part of this regularly held event every week. So
that's one of the things in my research for the news this week was the conference in Denver is having to say, yes, we are represented in traditional Christian churches too. And, you know, so there is a lot of being able to have a place where you can be recognized and part of a community, or just be part of a community that already recognizes you. And so people are fighting for space in churches. And I think, you know, because there are deists and theists who are part of this group, as long as they're open-minded to people, then they can drink of the cool waters of the Oasis.
Yes, exactly.
So why Oasis? Why Why that particular name?
Actually, Houston Oasis gets credit for that. So the idea was, you know, to create a place of respite, a place for refueling and rejuvenating, getting ready for the week. Because we do meet every single Sunday at 11 a.m. We have a program, something like a TED Talk, also live music from local musicians. It changes every week. So that kind of, you know, place to, you know, refresh yourself every week, or just to reconnect with other people too. So that was, Houston gets full credit for that. And so
in a lot of ways, it could also be like people talk about a third place. You have your home place, mm-hmm. your workplace, and a third place.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have the expectations of the other. It seems like it's much more just a place you can be.
Sure. Exactly.
I always think of the bathroom as a place where I can really be myself. So there's music, there's building community. What could someone expect coming to Oasis for the first time?
Brian? Well, so as soon as you walk in through the doors, there's always someone there to greet you. I think that that's one of the main things.
Wait, is this Oasis or Walmart?
It's Oasis. We are talking about Oasis. There's always someone there to greet you, which is always nice because you immediately get that sense of being welcomed. And beyond that, although there is one person who's sitting there to greet you, then you're met by 10 other people who are not assigned to greet you, who are greeting you. So that's one thing that you'll experience there. Beyond that, I mean, there's always something new. There's always something changing. So, you know, we always post online the different events and different activities that we're going to be having every Sunday. So you can see on there and see something that might pique your interest. We have had cooking tutorials in the past. We've had people who've come up and given more of a life story about how they kind of came out of religion. We've had people who've come and done a lot more scientific stuff. So we had someone who came out and talked about how we date the Earth in a very scientific fashion. So we have such an array of things that there's always just something different, always something new. And then obviously we also have coffee and donuts, which is always a draw for me because I need something to help.
Well, I just like donuts.
I'll keep having donuts until I look like one.
I think the idea of what we're doing on Sunday is we have our talks to create dialogue and conversation, which we hope to carry outside of Sunday. It also creates a common shared experience, which helps to connect people, actually, because the sole goal of Oasis is to build really great non-religious or secular community. And I think Sunday helps kind of propel that. It's just where it starts, though. And then we offer different volunteer opportunities throughout the month, and then social stuff as well, where people can really connect, get to know one another, and have that kind of social support that we see research-wise is huge to our well-being and life satisfaction. So that's kind of, you know, the full scope of what we're hoping to achieve with Oasis. And I would venture to say easily that we're successful at that so far.
What kind of volunteer opportunities are there?
Oh my gosh, we've done so many different things. Our next blood drive's coming up in March, which will be at our gathering on Sunday. So it's from 9:30 to 1:30, and I think it's March 8th or 9th. I should know that, but I don't. We've also done bone marrow donor drive registration. We've partnered with Micah Ministries. They have been really wonderful at accepting those of us who are non-religious, and so we help feed mainly the working poor, actually, once a month on a Monday night.
But I hear legislators say, no, the churches will feed the poor, but other people can feed the poor too?
I know, right? It's amazing.
Wacky.
Yeah, so it's been really cool to have their support with that. We're doing a drive for Uzazi Village right now for material needs for them. All kinds of stuff. Who else? It's just, the list goes on and on. And what's been really fascinating about what we've done here, we asked early on what people wanted out of Oasis when we started. Uh-huh. And one of the top things were that they wanted to be able to volunteer and give back to the community. And it's hard, as someone who doesn't fit into church or a religious institution, to sometimes find those opportunities. Often they're tied to certain religious organizations or ideologies that we're just not comfortable with. Yeah. And so we've created this outlet, and people are so excited to be able to, you know, represent Oasis in that way and be able to simply give back to your community because we care about people in the world. It's pretty simple.
Well, and that's there's a growing percentage of people who don't identify with particular religions.
Yes.
Which has been increasing.
Oh, drastically.
So it can show, you know, somebody who might be saying, I don't know, it's always the church that's supposed to be doing all this. That's what they tell me.
Right. Well, and so one of the things that we've discussed on multiple occasions is because the church seems to be the central source of community for a lot of places, people tend to not leave the church because that is their community. They don't want to lose their community, although they might not necessarily believe the things that are being taught. And so we're wanting to give them that alternative. We're wanting to say, you know, if you don't believe or if you don't just fit in the church, you don't have to lose your community. So we still have that available for people.
And the community of good works, I mean, not only that, I'm just going through your events to try to find that, and I get stuck on things like arts and crafts time. Oh, wait, let me read about arts and crafts and knitting and game night.
See, fun. Potlucks? I mean, we can cook. Actually, I will venture to say, I feel like the food that we've had at potlucks with Oasis has been even better than any potluck I'd ever attended in a church. These people can cook. You want to come to a potluck for sure.
That's I'm Native American, and my people are known for, you know, potlatch, which is the same thing. You bring a dish. And,
cool.
And a lot of that, I don't know if you would necessarily appreciate, but something I love that my Choctaw people make is called banaha.
Oh.
And it's like a tamale, but there's nothing in it except the corn. So yummy, right?
Venture to try anything.
I love that. There's a flight simulator open house coming up. The Living the Dream concert, the happy hour.
It's community. It's just connecting people, creating opportunities for them to be able to hang out and do life together.
Now, my understanding, too, because I keep saying Linda is shepherding us, even though now she's spending all of her time on her phone, playing Words of Friends. I've forgotten what I was going to tell you. You have so befuddled me. I see Linda's loveliness, and I
just have to smile at you, and you go.
Yeah, that's it, and I'm gone because you're my dream girl. So what else? What would I say?
I can just go on.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, one of the things that we're providing with Oasis as well is a place for families. My husband and I, when we finally realized we no longer held the religious beliefs that we used to have, we didn't really have a place that was really accepting and accommodating to families and young children. I have a 4- and a 7-year-old. So we provide childcare and even child programming and then opportunities for, you know, things that kids can come to as well, so that those of us who have kids have a community to call their own as well. And that's, I think, been significant to what we're doing, at least in the Kansas City area, especially.
And now I know the connection I was making between shepherding and pastoral studies.
Yeah, oh yes.
Okay, you can't see it, but she's kind of rolling her eyes off to one side.
No, never.
But part of your background was pastoral studies, not pastoral. You weren't studying how to
I haven't
make
heard
milk.
Any sheep or way. I don't know how you but what's the proper way to say that?
Louis pastoral. But that has been part of your education as well.
It was. So, yeah, I went to school. Originally, I was a music major, and I actually went to a pretty heavily religious conservative school.
Voice, instruments?
I was voice, okay. Yes. So,
mezzo?
What?
Mezzo?
Actually, coloratura.
Oh!
I know.
See,
it's been a while.
You're down in the lower register.
I know. I speak pretty low. But, yeah, I felt called, as they like to say it, and I think really it's a matter of being surrounded in that, and you kind of get sucked in. But I've always, you know, been drawn towards just seeing how I can help people, and I at that time thought that the best way to help humanity was in the example of you know, Jesus, and to be able to possibly, you know, do that through church life. But pretty quickly after I got out of school, my husband and I both together just kind of reasoned our way out of Christianity. And it took a couple years, and then we just were like, looked at each other like, we can't agree. And there are so many other political things we can't agree with as well that were really frustrating. To be associated with is not pleasant, in my opinion. And so when we finally left church. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the reasons why, the main reasons we just no longer could even attend, had to do with LGBT rights. It was just too much to hear them. They would preach tolerance, but not full acceptance.
Close.
Yes. Sorry. So anyways, yeah, so eventually we were out, you know, didn't have a community to fall back on. And that's why I just was like, well, why can't we do something like that, but remove all the stuff we don't like, or the things that we can't, you know,
can't agree with
yeah. and create that community where people are more important than beliefs, and meaning comes from making a difference. Another value is human hand solve human problems. And so I think we weren't alone in that at all. And that's why we've had such an incredible response to something, in my opinion, that isn't necessarily rocket science, you know, or just putting on a really great Sunday, you know, program and connecting people. And it's resonating for many.
And obviously, Brian, it resonates with you. You're on the board of directors.
I am, yes.
And how does this community play out for you in your life?
So it's interesting because I am actually from Arkansas originally, so I moved to Kansas City just a couple of years ago. And when I was in Arkansas, I mean, my main community was the other students that were going to college with me. And then under, you know, less than favorable circumstances, that's kind of why I moved up to Kansas City, and I absolutely knew no one. And then tried going to church, but I just, it was one of those things where growing up, it wasn't something that I necessarily aligned with. I just did it because that's where community was. And so I ended up going to church and realizing I don't really want to go to church simply to meet people. And then that's around the same time, that's when Oasis came on, and it's been amazing for me. There are people that I didn't know before Oasis that I go and watch movies with them. We go and get brunch. We go and do this, we go and do that. And that is, like, that is what Oasis is trying to do. It's trying to connect people with others. And when we interact, it's not around whether or not we do or don't believe. It's mm-hmm. just around the fact that we are people and we have interest and we want to go do things and we want to experience life together.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people, you can't skip brunch. Brunch is the most important meal of the game. So there are some people who have the idea that agnostics or atheists or however you want to be referred to, however people will refer to them, mm-hmm. let alone how they would like to be referred to, mm-hmm. Are trying to take other people's religion away from them and convince them to change. You know, they become the, I'll get you, my pretty. What would you
mean? You've practiced that before, haven't you?
Oh, I've done that a few times, yes. What would you have to say to those people? I mean, I think that it's wrong, but you're probably more practiced in discussing it than I am.
Right. Well, so one thing that I have told Helen before about me in particular, and I've even had this conversation with many other people in our community. When I first joined Oasis, I was still struggling with whether or not I had a theology. And I think that the thing about Oasis is, since we don't put an emphasis on theology, we're just a secular organization. We're not an atheist organization. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to bring down religion. We're just secular, so we're without it. And I think that that allowed me to reason by myself. No one was telling me what to believe, what not to believe. I was able to basically just go through that journey alone. And if someone does have a theology, well, you know, all power to them. Mm-hmm. We're still going to be there for community. And if that's something that you want to explore, then we're not going to be there to tell you not to explore it.
So you don't have to believe or not believe.
Exactly. Yeah, because our first value is people are more important than beliefs. So we care more about the human being. We don't care, you know, if you, you know, still have some religious beliefs or not. It's kind of irrelevant. And our programming, we try to shape around that as well. I mean, like Brian said, you know, we've had all kinds of people. We had a psychiatrist talk about sleep. We had a comedian talk about doing improv, you know, comedy. We've actually had Debbie Jackson on the program a while back as well, and she was amazing. And so it doesn't have anything to do with your religious affiliation or unaffiliation necessarily. It's just secular, like public school is supposed to be. That's kind of how I put it, you know, it's like supposed to be. But, and that's kind of, we're the same way. We don't talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, we are not, we don't, Richard Dawkins said something about, we don't get together to talk about how we don't collect stamps, you know, the same thing, like we don't get together to talk about how we don't do religion. It's we're all moving past that. It's a done deal.
It's about investing in other people.
Exactly. Correct.
Wonderful. So you anything of great import that you would also like to bring up that's happening, or ideas, or invitations, or website?
Absolutely. Website, very important. KCOasis.org. Same thing on Facebook. It's KC Oasis. Twitter is KC_Oasis as well. We meet every single Sunday, so you can come once a month, once a year, every week. Other way, you're welcome. 11 a.m. at 1712 Main Street in Kansas City, Missouri. It's in the Crossroads District. And this week, we have life coach Joyce Lehman, who's going to be speaking. So
change your thoughts and change your life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it also says here the doors open at 10:30 a.m. for yep. coffee and conversation. I assume coffee
and donuts too. You have your health food ready too.
And greeters.
Warm smiles.
Any last thoughts you care to share, or anything that we've left out that you think would be important for people to know?
I just think that, you know, our community is growing, and with that, I mean, we, you know, going back to some of the other stuff that we've heard on this program already, our community is growing, and with growing minds, our community grows as well. We're not stagnant. We're not stuck in any form of tradition. We're always moving. We're always growing. And I think that is one thing that makes Oasis phenomenal in comparison to some other things out there.
Exactly. We call ourselves an evolving community, and all of our sister communities, I think, feel the same way. We're all just, you know, evolving with, you know, culture and time and the people that are a part of our communities. And
your community is a large community.
Gosh, it's grown rapidly. we were the front page cover story for the Sunday Kansas City Star Sunday magazine, and that almost doubled our community size as a result so far.
And that was just recently.
That was, yeah, like the second, yeah, mid-January or so. And it's it was a very, I mean, I was very happy with the article. But I think it resonated, like, with people. And we've seen that. And the feedback that we're getting is so overwhelmingly positive. When I started this, I thought I'd get a little more pushback. And honestly, I haven't had really any yet. I feel like it's probably coming, but I really expected more. And if anything, people are just, you know, really understanding and getting why we're doing what we're doing.
That's there's something very similar happened recently with and fairly regularly, as I found out, at the Like Me Lighthouse, was people simply did not know that there was a place for gay people to go. They didn't even know that there were gay bars. They didn't know any of that. And so they found the Lighthouse, and they found community there. And now people can find out about Oasis and find community there as well.
Exactly. And you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter that has, like, exactly all the social and volunteer events as well. You can sign up for that on kcoasis.org.
Brian?
Everything Helen said, I do want to reiterate that we have coffee and donuts.
And they're actually really good donuts. We get them from a local baker. Is that what you call that donut place? I don't know.
Donut tier? Is that a word?
There you go. Sounds fancy.
Well, I'm always in favor of coffee. As far as I'm concerned, you can keep bringing me coffee until I can thread a sewing machine while it's running. Because that's how much caffeine I need. So I think that's a great idea. Thank you both very much for being here with us today. Do either of you listen to KKFI regularly?
I will now.
And now?
I will.
Had you ever heard of this show before?
Yes. Sandra Mead, who's a part of our community, I know, is a contributor, has her own show as well occasionally.
She's on the 10th Voice on the third Saturday.
Yes,
month,
there you go. Yeah.
With Trans Talk. Mm-hmm. And, I'm here, and we have a couple of lesbians. Oh, I know. You're absolutely shocked, aren't you?
Yes.
But this is the only show of its kind.
It's incredible. I just sitting here and getting to be a part of this, I am more than honored. I just think it's wonderful, and I'd love to be able to do what we can to support it.
You have those sparkly blue eyes that belie your emotions. Oh, see, now you're going to be all
now I'm blushing.
I'd like to know, do you ever discuss politics at the center? And if you do, how do you...
We're a 501c3, and we just got our federal designation. Mm-hmm. So to keep our 501c3, not necessarily. Obviously, there's ways around that. We actually have Courtney Cole. She is a Missouri activist, I would say, political activist, who's going to become talking about the importance of just being involved politically in March. So that's, you know... Legally, we can't, you know, delve into that, but I would say that we're a pretty liberal community to the most part. But I mean,
the importance of being involved politically, without saying you have to be.
We can't endorse any candidate. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are familiar with that.
Yes.
Apparently, though, I'm given to understand from my reading, some churches are not deciding that no, they can't endorse particular political candidates. And both of you kind of look away like this.
That's why they're not there anymore. That's why I don't go.
I remember, I mean, yeah, they're shrinking drastically, you know. And what I am seeing is that the more liberal churches tend to be shrinking even faster because they're closer to becoming, you know, less religious as it is because they're not further on that spectrum of being conservative. And so I think that it's interesting as we see the decline of religiosity. I'm sure some of that, I mean, it played a role in our, it was a small element in leaving it because it's just, you can't keep aligning yourself with that kind of stuff.
That's certainly a lot of people in the Alphabet Soup community have had less than stellar experiences, shall we say.
Oh yes, we meet them all the time. It's, you know, that's why I think what we're doing is so important, and that's why, like, part of that, when you said why are we called Oasis, it's part of that. Not everyone who comes to Oasis has been raised in church, but there's a lot of us who do. I personally don't have any hard feelings necessarily, but I meet lots of people who have been so badly hurt by different religious organizations, and it absolutely breaks my heart, and it makes me even more passionate about what we're doing because they have a safe place at Oasis where they can get connected and plugged in to everyone who's, you know.
And that's the thing about churches. You think it would be the safest place in the world for you to be, and it's most many times it's not.
I had that naive belief when I wanted to be a pastor.
And I think one of the other important things to note is when it comes to the LGBT community, there are churches out there who are accepting, but there is no standard across any church. You know, you have the church major who says we aren't, and then you have the church minor who says we are, and then you never know what you're walking into with Oasis. Like, we don't care whether you are or aren't part of the LGBT community. You are welcomed with open arms regardless.
I don't think I remember you giving the address of where you meet.
So you have once, but I was going to say...
That's okay. 1712 Main Street. It's the second floor of Think Big Partners.
And you can find out more on your website?
kcoasis.org.
And it's a community.
It is.
That's what we're trying to do here on KKFI.
That's right.
Is have community because, again, that's what's important.
It is.
People need to connect with one another.
I think that's why a lot of people just go to church before that community, for that friendship. But you can have it on KKFI and be diverse and fit in any place here on KKFI. And if we wanted to continue, what do we need to do, Philip?
Well, definitely, if you would like to have more conversations like this or other conversations that we have, because we've had, you know, drag, we've had coffee, we've had community.
Donuts.
It's been an oasis for your ears. And if you would like for that to continue, please call 888-931-0901. You can give us a pledge on our website, kkfi.org. It keeps it going because at this time you're listening to 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio. This has been the 10th Voice. We would like for you to please stay tuned for This Way Out. And
followed by Wings, the Women's International News Gathering Service.
And all of the good stuff that happens. You know, you may become more diverse yourself by listening. Thank you very much. Yes, I said that this is 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio.
And there you said it again. Thank you, Philip.
What you think?
This way.